We start off with an analysis of the pasuk, basically. Remember that, as the Gemara points out, the dinim of Negoyim are very, very heavy in the psukim. There's a lot of sukkahs in Shas where we need to have tremendous amount of drosha work trying to figure out all of these complex halachas based on very few remuzim, even to the point of harorim hatluyim b'sa'ara, as it points out in Chagiga. But when it comes to Negoyim, there's tons and tons of confusing psukim, and we'd like to understand how do we understand the meaning of those psukim. So it says the Adam ki yeh b'or b'saro se'et o sapachat o b'heret. So on the surface, these are the names of different types of Negoyim. So a person has got in his flesh a nega of three different types, either a se'et, or a sapachat, or a baheret. The thing is, however, that the word sapachat has no direct connection to a concept of a nega. A sapachat means an ancillary. That's all the word means. We're going to show that through psukim. And therefore, the placement of the word sapachat between se'et and baheret is mekubo by Chazal to mean an ancillary to the Baharat and an ancillary to the Se'et, which means that the Torah is now giving us four different madregas of what a nega is. So it's telling us there is a Baharat and a sapachat of a Baharat, and there is a Se'et and a sapachat of a Se'et. Now the question is, because, okay, we can say the sapachat placed in the middle of baheret and se'et is only to indicate that the word sapachat applies to both the baheret and the se'et. It may also have to do with how we analyze the order of the negayim. But what we do understand from here is that since we ourselves would not know precisely what it is that the Torah considers to be a white nega, we understand that the concept of baheret is that it's bahir. Like it says in the pasuk, bahir hu bashchakim. It's very, very bright. Okay, so we understand that it's very bright, but how much below very bright are we ready to go? In other words, we understand that the normal human eye is going to be able to detect different orders of brightness without necessarily seeing that brightness on a particular background. Now, obviously, that's a little bit confusing because our eye judges brightness based on an analysis of contrast. And therefore, we're going to have to discuss, okay, but I mean, like, what do you mean? On what kind of background are we going to decide this brightness is? But let's assume we've decided on a standard background, which we will shortly. What would be the level of difference that you could detect without having them one up against the other, without contrast? So suppose I show you five different pictures of contrasts, and you are going to need to tell me, without looking at them side by side, you're going to need to tell me which one is differentiated from the others. How many different whitenesses did you see? So obviously, there's going to be different levels of people's acuity in this. The Torah is coming to tell me that what we look for is the first four differences that are detectable by most people, and those will be the definitions of the maximum variations in the brightness of a nega tzaras, which is brilliant. So by telling us in this way, baheret or se'et, the word se'et means raised. That's what it means to be nutsa, means to lift something up. So what it's telling us is that you have the brightest, then you have something that is raised beyond that. Why do we say raised? Well, because something that is bright against a dark background appears to be deeper than the dark background. So because of that, if something is raised, it's another way of telling me that it is not as bright as what was baheret, because now it is raised higher than the other one is. Now, I must tell you, gentlemen, that this issue in the pasuk has become a major problem in Rashi's approach to the sugya, And this is something that Rashi admits openly, which you'll remember from last week's parsha. Rashi says, I don't know what the heck this is supposed to mean. And that is that the pasuk says, Umar eyo eino amok min ha'or. According to the simple meaning that Rashi takes this to mean, that is a contradiction in terms. You cannot have something that is bright that is not amok min ha'or, because Rashi understands that the meaning of Baheret being deeper is the innately the contrast of the Baheret. You see? If it's innately the contrast, then you cannot talk about a Baheret that does not look deeper than the skin, because it's always going to look deeper than the skin. This is how Rashi understands the meaning. Because of that, he says, I don't understand these psukim. Whenever it says, va'amok ein mar'eyu min ha'or, then that means it isn't a Baheret. So how could there be a Baheret which is mar'eyu eino amok min ha'or? Now, the obvious answer to this is that there are two completely different concepts that we're talking about. One is the fact that the Torah is insisting on contrast. That was what Chazal say is the meaning of Se'et versus Baheret in terms of how much lower would it appear than a dark surface. The other of Amok Min Ha'or is something that I'm sure all of you have seen, and that is that there are times where you have an internal penetration in which there's a sense of transparency on the surface of the skin so that it looks as if you're looking into, not just because of the coloration, but because it also appears deep. Okay, so this is the way the other Mefarshim understand. There's two completely different ideas. One is the relationship between Baheret and Se'et, which is simply a matter of contrast. The other is the question of what makes something a pathological brightness. And that is the question of whether it appears to penetrate the skin. That's a separate thing. But what we are learning out from over here is that from the three mentions, one of which is a mention that applies both to the Baheret and the Se'et, there must be four levels. Based on those four levels, the research that we have done has given us the normal ability of the human eye to discern without direct contrast one to the other. If I look at this level of white, I could say level A, level C, level D. So what would those four levels be? So Shnayim Shein Arba. There are two Avot Nigaim, and that's the Baheret and the Se'et. And then there are two Toldot Nigaim, because the meaning of the word the Sapachat is that it's secondary. That is to say, it's a Tolada in a structured presentation. So the Baheret itself is considered to be the brightest. And that is that it's Azak Shelag. It is extremely bright. And as you know, you're up there in the Alps. You've got to shield your eyes from the pure white brightness of the snow. And that is literally, you have to wear glasses for it. And that is considered to be the identifiable brightest that we'll see. And indeed, it's a pasuk. Vatihir Miriam Mitzorat Kashalek. So that is a given, that when the Torah wants to talk about her being extraordinarily leprous, I've used the word leprous even though Tzoraz has nothing to do with leprosy, but it's just the nonsensical English word, but okay. So that is the Mitzorat Kishelek. Now, the next thing down, and this we'll see, is only on Libra Rebbe Meir. The next thing down, which is the Se'et, is actually as white only as the krum of the beitzah. The krum of the beitzah means the membrane that is underneath the hard shell of the egg. And that is the lowest of the marot. So the actual se'et is lower than the seed ha'echal, which is the tolda of the baharet, here the shniyala, Kisid Ha'echal, and that Sid Ha'echal, they used to use this lime to give a beautiful new fresh coat on the Echal every year. And then the Se'et itself is Krum Beitzah, and then the secondary to the Se'et is Kitzemer Lavan. So says Rabbi Meir. Now, this is a very strange shita, because according to Rabbi Meir, the Baharet is the deepest, the most extreme white, and the Se'et is actually the least white, so that he understands that the two avot are the two ends of the spectrum of the Negayim. So you can have the most white, and you can have the least white. And then the in-between, which are the toldot, are between the Baharat on the top and the Se'et on the bottom. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says that the tolda of the Se'et is more white than the tolda of the Baharat, because it stresses Se'et Levana. So then that means it's coming to tell me that the tolda of the Se'et is now in the order of the Sapachats. You understand the fascinating approach of Rabbi Akiva. The fascinating approach of Rabbi Akiva is that the Sapachat is the Sapachat of the Baharat, which you would think means, okay, so then that means it would come under that tolda. No, the Sapachat of the Baharat actually is Mar En number 3. And the Sapachat of the Se'et is actually Mar'e number 2, which is really, really weird. Okay, so all kinds of discussions of this, but we'll talk about them as we go on. Chachomim Omrim, no. It goes in order of whiteness. And therefore, the Se'et is the second most white thing, which is Tzemer Lavan, that is brand new wool, and that is secondary to the Baharet. And then its secondary, meaning its Sapachat, is the lowest of the Sapachot, which is Kikrum Beitza. So therefore, according to the Chachamim, we have a totally different, the two Avot are the two whites, not the extremes of the white and the least white. So we have Baharet, that's Aza Keshelek. We have the Se'et, the Tzemer Lavan, and then we have the Sapachat to those two in a logical order. The Tolda of the Baharet is the third level, which is the Sira Echal, and the Tolda of the Se'et is the fourth level, which is the Krum Beitza. Okay, so we start off with a machlokas of what are the Avos, what are the Toldas. You would ask, who cares? Because as we will see, differences in any of these marot are completely irrelevant to the halacha. And a change from one level of brightness to another level of brightness is meaningless to us, as we're going to see in the next Mishnah. The only reason that it's important for us to define the relationship of the Ovis and the Toldais is because the Kohen, who is going to be paskening, and I shouldn't say paskening, but it was going to be creating the Tumah or the Taira by saying Tamehu or Tahorhu, as we'll see, must be a Bucky in the Mekar of the relationship of the Nega to the Psukim that have created the Nega. Remember that the Nega is Zot Torat. We talk about Nega Torat, which is the Torat of Adam, and therefore it cannot come from his assumptions. It has to come from the knowledge of how it comes from the Torah, which is strange, because it's going to turn out that the Kohen does not even have to know anything about Torah to say Tamei Vitar, as we're going to see much later on. If a Talmud Chochem, who is a Baki in the Maros, accompanies him, he can whisper in the ear of the Kohen, psst, this is Tamei, or psst, this is Tahar, and the Kohen can say so without being a Baki. Now, that's a steer to this very concept. We're going to see there's a number of different tirutzim. The most obvious is that if the Kohen is being semech on the Chacham who does know, that's okay. But if he has his own expertise that derives from somewhere other than the Zot Torah Tatzorat, then it's not okay, because then he's not applying the Teras Adam in the Torah to the Adam. Okay, so these are our fundamental beginnings to understanding Nigei Adam and the Arba Marais Negoyim.